Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. And today we're joined by a good friend of ours, Dan Lee. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Grayson. Thanks for asking.
Really good to have you here today, Dan. You've been around the church a few years, right?
I have, yes.
I remember, we just had this conversation the other day, that when I started attending on Roosevelt Street in 1995, you were my first Sunday school teacher. I still remember the topic. And,
that's been a while.
It's been a while, but you've been a constant here, involved, and you worked for many years at Dynamic Creation, and you retired.
I did. Hallelujah.
How was that? How was it to retire after a busy job for many years?
It was a wonderful job. I enjoyed working with all the people there, and the retirement was sort of bittersweet because I missed the people, but it was a time that I needed to move on. I had just turned 70, and I decided several years before that that would be a good transition point for me, so retired when I turned 70.
Yeah, so you retired, and I'm sure you just sit on the couch and eat bonbons, right?
Not yet.
Retirement isn't normally anymore. Retirement's not just, you know, quitting work. You found something else to do, right?
No, build a boat. I think if there were Bible days, I think then Dan would be Noah.
Well, thank you, Grayson. I do like being busy, and it was a time of questioning. You know, really, what am I going to do? Didn't have any specific plans. I had done a lot of woodworking and cabinet work in my life, as well as facility maintenance. I was an airport manager down at Dynamic for a number of years. And my daughter said one day, "What are you going to do when you're retired?" And I really didn't know. I said, "Well, I might do a little woodworking," but I couldn't quite figure out how that would become an income maker for me. And she said, "Where's your pottery wheel?" And I had majored in art and sculpture and art education when I went to way back when Madison was Madison and not JMU. Yeah. And I said, "I think it's in the garage." And so she said, "Well, let's go take a look." And so we went to the garage one day and dug through a lot of years of garage stuff and pulled it out. And that kind of planted the seed that I wonder if I can still do this again. Mm-hmm. And it kind of took off from there.
Yeah, well, now we know where Jen got her art talent.
That's right.
Man.
Who knew?
Yeah.
So recently with the pastors, they came out to your pottery studio. You even have a sign that says Dan's Studio. We won't say where that is, but it's locally. And so you had the pastors out for part of a day. And I know it was so moving to Pastor Margaret. She's like, "Let's have Dan in and talk about, you know, the pottery and what he shared with the pastors." And there's so many overlays spiritually in, you know, the potter and the clay. So Dan, just share with us some of what you shared that day.
Yeah. Well, the metaphors are always, a lot of things can become metaphors, but the pottery metaphor is, I think, just amazing. As I started to realize I could still do it, and there were some opportunities then to use that by selling at craft fair or some other locations. It takes a time alone to realize what you can do with the skill or talent maybe that you can have to refine it. And as it was really a privilege to have the pastors and everybody come out. The studio idea comes from, it is a garage. But oftentimes, depending on your profession, artists sometimes are artisans. They call their location a studio. There's been some humor about that. But really, the metaphor is, you know, in Jeremiah 18, Jesus says, "Go down to the potter's house," and that he will give us his message. And one of the things he mentions that As he saw them working at the wheel, the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And that is really the way ceramics or pottery goes. It starts, oftentimes you can buy commercial clay that has already been mixed up into a malleable form and can use that. And I think when the pastors were there, I showed them how I take the mud that is left over from trimming or from pots that are marred or pots that are not shaped properly. They just go in a bucket. And the water dissolves the clay back into its original form. And I showed them how we take that and we dry it. And then I take that and wedge it or cut it and mold it into balls of clay that then can be used for a variety of things, mugs or bowls or whatever. But you wedge it to get the clay and impurities, or get the air and impurities out of the clay. And then from there, we went to the wheel, and I had some clay balls made up and put them down on the wheel and showed them how, you know, you press the clay. And that the most important part of getting started with wheel-formed ceramics is you have to get that clay ball centered. And centering means it's an irregular shape, and as you push on it with both your hands, you are forcing the clay to be cohesive into a single unit that is spinning perfectly around with no irregularities. And then from there, you can move your hands down in the center and open it up. And that's the beginning of the shape you're going to do. And depending on the size of the clay may determine what you're going to make. For example, I think I made several mugs on that day. And as you go into the center, you go down, but you don't want to go too far, or you go all the way through it. But you open it up, spread it out, and then you pull it up into a cylinder shape. And from there, you kind of shape what you want the future mug to look like. And then I think we discussed from that point, the clay, the mug or the pot is set aside to dry for a while until it maintains the form that it was thrown to. And then you take it down and you cut it off of the bat that it was thrown on. It's semi-hard, but if you're not careful, you can bend it at that point, still forming it. And you turn it over and you trim the bottom. At that point, you can put a handle on it or any decoration at that point you want to do. And then it has to dry again. And it is still malleable at that stage. There have been times in putting a handle on or doing something to the pot, it gets misformed. And that's where basically it is marred. It has to go back into the reclaimed bucket and become just mud again. But if it isn't marred, it is dried until it is basically air dried. And then we put it into the fire, which is a kiln that heats up to very high temperature. And this is the first time it's fired. And that hardens the clay to a point that is, it is solid. You can pick it up and maneuver it and handle it. But it is still not finished. So I take that, that's called a bisque ware or bisque firing. I take the bisque fired mug. I sand it to get any little pebbles or impurities off of it. I rinse it. And then it's ready for glaze, which is liquid chemicals that are mixed together, including liquid clays that melt to form a glass-like surface on the pot. And those, you can have different colors. There's a variety of things. The glazes can come in different varieties. That then is put into the second firing, which is a little higher temperature. And the glaze melts and molds itself with the clay as the clay becomes hardened even more. And at that point, the fire is done, it cools down, and you basically have a finished pot. And it's often fun to open the glaze kiln because you've worked a lot to try to get things the way you want them, but you never quite know what you're going to get out of the kiln. How did the colors blend together? Did they drip? Did they run? Were they the colors you thought they would be? And at that point, they're pretty much ready to be to give it away or to be sold or to be useful as a bowl or a mug or be useful to somebody else.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about when you put that clay on the wheel, what makes it connect to the wheel? Like, that has to be your first thing, mm-hmm. right? Like, there has to be a, mm-hmm. a connection before you can... I mean, I can imagine. Yeah, I try to put something on there and fly off.
There is, and... when you're doing production work, you have what's called a bat, which is just a piece of hard masonite that fits on two little pins on the wheel. But you don't have to have that. It just makes it easier to get it off. You can use the wheel head itself. But usually there's a little bit of moisture. You put a little bit of water or something on that. And as you throw that ball down on the little bit of water, the moisture on the bat and the moisture in the clay connect together almost like a glue in a way. And that's what holds it on. And the initial pressure when you're centering is down to really force it to stick to the bat. Yeah. And then you add your other hand to start saying, okay, you're on. Now we've got to get centered. Yeah. So
it was fascinating to watch that day. And I've seen it before, but it had been a while that I had watched someone on a potter's wheel. So it's a beautiful picture of... You know, Jeremiah tells us here that there's such a metaphor here.
Yes.
And I think it was a powerful day for us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's no secret. When we were there, we had just found out that Pastor Adrian was resigning.
Yes, that's correct.
And that Pastor John was resigning. Mm-hmm. And that morning, I was just wondering what the day was going to be like. I didn't know what we were doing that day. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that we were going to come to... studio. And I was praying that morning and just seeking the Lord, you know? There's some change happening. And
right.
I felt the Lord speak over me that morning. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Not it's going to be okay, mm-hmm. but it's okay. And that was, it brought me to my feet that morning when that word came. To have that playing in the back of my mind, know that, hey, it's okay. And standing there around the potter's wheel with our staff, our pastoral staff, and realizing that nothing ever stays the same, right?
Right, right.
And there's change that happens. People need to go where they're called, right? And it was a powerful moment as we stood there and watched the potter form that clay into something useful. Mm-hmm. And what you've explained to us in the last few minutes is this process of making a coffee cup that really overlays what it is to be made into, it overlays what the life of the believer, mm-hmm. that it's, we don't make a connection, we're not saved and that's it. Like, it is,
yes.
We're transformed by God to bring hope to others in Christ, right? And so, and it's a journey that has twists and turns.
Right, right.
And there's times that we feel like, what is God doing? At that time we're on a shelf, right?
Yes.
There's
yes.
a process in this. It's not always movement. Sometimes the process is stillness. Sometimes the process is being thrown into fire, right?
Right.
And if we haven't waited on the Lord and we get into the fire, if you don't wait with that pot, what happens?
Yeah.
Or with that cup, what happens when you put it in the fire to be tested by fire?
It blows up.
Wow.
No, it cracks and it will not come out the way you had planned if you rush it. There have been times in trying to do a deadline or something, and I put the clay or the mugs that were already formed weren't quite air dried. And when I opened up the Biskiln, several of them were not like they should have been. They were cracked and broken. And so there is a lesson of patience there as well. So.
And it doesn't, yeah. I would guess that that affects all the, everything in the kiln.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, I didn't want to miss that because when we are being purified, and I think as I watched your thumbs, you know, as you gave direction, and maybe we can, the video.
If you're listening on the radio, you can go to our website, cotnaz.org, click Watch, Listen, click Hope Talks, and it'll be April 28th program.
Yeah. So we can actually put that, because we sat and watched a video right before this started of you that day making a cup, and there was a couple of moments when you threw it on the wheel to make that connection. When you take that thumb, and sometimes we feel like we have a thumb on us, right?
Right.
There's just beautiful metaphors of Christian life. So
right.
It was, I could keep one, but I want to hear from you.
Yeah. And that's true. I think the metaphors are wonderful. I think I like doing functional pottery. A coffee mug can sit on the shelf and look great, but you get to use it. You get to drink out of it every morning and maybe reflect on where it came from or the beauty of it, if you see beauty in that. There is also artwork that is done that is not necessarily functional, but is beautiful to look at. And so I think we need to encourage others that are doing that type of work to continue. I know one of the mugs that I made that morning, some of the mugs I make have a symbol on them. And I think that reflects perhaps my change of life many years ago. But I've got a cross that's made out of horseshoe nails. And when the clay is still soft, but has shape, I can press that cross into the clay and it stays. And then when I pull it out of the bisque and I glaze it, I can take a separate glaze and put in the cross. And then I do have to put a what's called a wax over top of that cross so that the other glaze from the mug doesn't roll down and cover it up. So I have to protect the cross in many ways. And they've been fun to make, and I enjoy doing them. So,
and you have another emblem that's synonymous with you and this church that's on some of your mugs, too.
Which emblem?
That
was one of the first. It's actually an attachment. It's a medallion, I call it. And many years ago, we had made wooden nativities for the church and for folks to put in their front yards. And I took that image digitally and reduced it down. And then that emblem that attaches to the side of the mug, and they've been very good. They're good reminders. That's wonderful.
Great memories.
Yes.
You're talking about the mug being functional. Well, we're functional to God.
That's
He's
right.
He's the potter and we're the clay, and He makes us into something useful.
That's right.
It's just a great analogy, so to speak. And also, recently here at Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg, and our East Rock campus, we've been on a series on holiness, and talking about one of the things about holiness is surrender.
Yes.
And I know during the first week of the series, Brian Schrett said, we don't work our way to holiness, we surrender our way to holiness. And, you know, us surrendering to God is the pottery surrendering to the potter.
Right. Yes, yes. Very true. Good metaphor. Yep.
You know, and I think sometimes, I know in my own life, I have felt like I messed up.
Yeah.
And it can be a place that we wonder if we'll ever be useful to
yes.
God. And when you can reuse that clay, you know, you see something it needs to be worked out of it.
Yes.
It can be made into something
yes.
beautiful. I think that's just another one of those metaphors with the potter and the clay that become very evident that day. As we watched, and I don't know, it was such a beautiful thing as we all stood there. And I think we were all looking at that wheel, the pottery, the potter, and we could all imagine, you know, we could all see our own lives where
yes.
God has redeemed
yes.
us from our mistakes. But I think that day it gave us vision. It did me anyway, of this, you know, this is just the potter has things planned for us that
yes.
we don't know what
right.
will, you know, what the end will will be, we don't know what the rest of our lives will look like.
Right.
But the potter does.
Yes.
And it takes us being still and obedient. And really, the pottery can't go anywhere.
Right.
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 It's surrendered.
Yes.
It's like Grayson said, mm-hmm. it's surrendered. It's there and at the trusting the potter. And that's what we do, right? He calls us to surrender and trust him with the process.
Yes.
And it is being a believer.
Yes.
It's quite the process.
That's right. I do like the idea of handmade items. Mm-hmm. And it relates to the ceramics in many ways because each item I make is unique and different, even though it may look almost the same as the one next to it. Mm-hmm. They're all unique and different, just like we are all unique and different. Five mugs may have a purpose, but they may be a different purpose. One is for coffee, one is for tea, one is for whatever. A bowl may have a different purpose from a mug. We're all unique and different. There is a scripture in Philippians that I like, and I use part of this as a talk about pottery. Philippians 4:4 starts, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And this is the part that I really like. Many have heard it. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." And I think that relates to kind of what I do and how I like to present my pottery to others.
Make the pottery, and then you have the opportunity to go out and set up.
Yes.
And sell your wares. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you have some unique conversations. they're conversation pieces to start with. The cross.
Right.
The nativity, whatever is on there. There is something on those mugs that it says whose they are, right?
Yeah,
it says
that's
who
correct.
The potter's. That's
correct.
Who doesn't.
And doing the craft shows is fun. I do one, the larger one in, I do the larger show in Dayton in the fall. And it's interesting to watch the people come into the booth. I think some of them are afraid to touch the pottery. You know, what if I drop it? But others will gravitate to a different color or style. And it's interesting to watch them pick the handle of the mug up. I've got several styles of handles. But some people just gravitate to a different style. And it's interesting as they pick it up, you can almost see them evaluating, ooh, I like this, or maybe I need a different one. It's fun to watch the selection process.
Mm-hmm. And you know, just thinking about it, as you make that, each individual mug, it's going to fit the liker,
That's
different
right.
people.
That's right.
Which is really nice and why you can have some different styles and sizes and
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And hopefully those that are picking one up or maybe taking one home or giving one for a gift will remember that interaction a little bit. They will remember the day they got it and who they talked to when they got it and perhaps, think on things that are pure and lovely and pass that on to whoever they're giving it to or in their daily lives as they use it every morning. So I love that.
They make good gifts. I know I've gotten a few people.
Where can we find those?
Well, thanks for asking. I have right now two locations. The Farmers Market in Dayton. They're open, I guess, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next to the Coffee Klatch, the little coffee shop there. And then I also have some items down at the Valley Pike Farm Market, which is on Route 11 South, near the Weir's Cave exit. They're open, I think, 7 days a week, quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And they have several artisans in there, but there's a lot of good traffic, and I think a lot of people go there as well. So it's been exciting to get into those venues. And then in the fall, I go to the Dayton Fall Festival, which is usually the first Saturday in October.
So. Yeah, I think I purchased
a
Christmas gift, and everyone was happy with their gift.
Oh, great.
That was a hit.
Yes.
Well, Dan, anything else about the pottery we haven't asked you already or you haven't shared already, and then... one or two more other questions?
Well, I think we've pretty well covered it. The one thing that I have found, I enjoy talking with people and kind of in a people person, I guess. But there is also a time of concentration that is needed. Oftentimes in the studio, it's a solitary a time when you're reflecting on what you're going to do, how is it going to come out. Are there frustrations? Yes, there are. It's a patience teaching oftentimes, but I've appreciated that and has helped me in many ways reflect a little deeper maybe to who I am and what my purpose is and what the Lord has for me to do in terms of witnessing or talking to others.
Right. And another question I think of kind of go along with pottery is you've been huge in men's ministry over the years. You are men's ministry at this church. And you've helped mold young men and train young men the next generation. Just talk about kind of the overlays and what we've talked about in regards to that.
Well, thank you, Grayson. It's been a cooperative effort. Originally started when I first came to the church in 94 with Pastor Carey, who was here. And he certainly had a heart for men and wanted to reach out and touch men. And through the years, there have been a number of people, Pastor Jim and some others, that have gathered together to help try to encourage men to dig a little deeper. To get all in and to search for the holiness that we have been talking about recently in our services. And there are some venues. We have morning prayer twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 o'clock. And that has been going on for many, many years. And people may say that's early in the morning, but it's that way to be specific. Yeah. It's if you're getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're either milking cows or you're doing something specific. And being specific means you have taken the intention to go do it. And we're trying to encourage men to do that, to open the Word and to let the Word speak to them, but in a way that will relate to their families and their community.
Right, yeah. We meet for Bible studies on Tuesday morning at 6:05 till 7 or thereabout, and we share physical and spiritual food. And then on Thursdays, as you mentioned, even longer than the Bible study, we've been going a lot longer is the prayer.
Yes.
The prayer time, and that's 6:10 to 7, now in person and via Zoom.
Yes.
And so, and the physical location is the Harrisonburg Campus Church of the Nazarene, 1871 Boyers Road.
Yes. So they can come either of those mornings at 6, the church is open. We actually have some pretty good coffee there as well.
Dan
so
has a lot to do with
some
that.
Of us need coffee in the morning, but it's a good time of fellowship, but also of prayer. And it's an easy way that we can connect with each other and what's going on in their lives. I do believe that not just Tuesday and Thursday, but that every day is a true gift from the Lord, and that we have to determine, hopefully early in the morning, how we're going to open that gift and how we're going to use it as the day goes on.
And what if someone's listening today and they don't attend this church, but they would love to come to men's prayer and Bible study?
More than welcome. As I say, both of those are happening at our Harrisonburg campus. The door opens a little before 6. Coffee guy gets here a little earlier than that. But it's an easy way to connect and to come in. And then from there, obviously, we have services at the church on Sunday at 9 and 10:30. And there's good ways to connect. Hopefully anyone coming to the door is going to be greeted with open arms, and would love to have anyone come, even if they have questions or don't really know why they're coming. Love to have them.
At our Bible study, we have some guys that don't come to church here. Mm-hmm. They come to that. And also,
yes,
for our prayer time,
right,
we have a guy that joins us on Zoom who's in the southern part of Virginia.
Yes,
and is,
yes,
connected to one of our guys.
Right.
There's a few other guys I know. Pastor Billy's dad in Kentucky, mm-hmm, joins us sometimes,
yes,
on prayer via Zoom.
Yes.
So everybody's welcome.
Yes. Yeah, the Zoom has really been very beneficial in terms of outreach for fellows that can't make it in person. They're still getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, so it's been
just
great.
As intentional.
Yeah. No, it is just as intentional. Yes. Yeah.
Hey Dan, thank you for joining us today. It's been so great to have you.
Thanks, Grayson. I really appreciate the opportunity to share some of my story with you.
Well, thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard us talk with Dan Lee today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. Thanks for listening. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.